Right, so yesterday we were explaining to Rabbanon, and we explained again that this is a foundation that one has to understand. Whenever the Torah writes in a certain way, the Torah does not want you to ignore it. What is that?
Is this the squiggly thing on the grapevine?
I think it's Shivesta. That is called the branch of the grapevine. This is the grapevine?
Yeah.
That's the Shivesta, the branch.
But this piece, this squiggly thing that grows.
I have no idea. You're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not a... Anyway, so I never envisioned the grapevine looking like that. Shows what I know. Anyway, that's right. Sometimes visual learning. Anyway, back to the thing. Now, again. So when the Torah writes in a certain way, you can't ignore it. If the Torah decided it was important to write a meat and a reboy, if you learn it that way, you got to use the rules of meat and reboy. If the Torah wrote a klal prat, a klal, or a prat, klal, a prat, which we say now is the same, tomorrow will make a difference, but at this point there's no difference. So that is, the Torah is telling me, use the rule. You can't ignore the rule. The Rabbanim didn't write it there for you to wave at it and say no. The Rabbanim said, use it. Now, we have a rule that a klal prat, a klal has to include something. Our problem here is there's nothing to include. Everything is mefarish. Grapes are mefarish. Wine is mefarish. Vinegar is mefarish. And according to the Rabbanim, pits and peels are mefarish. What's left out? So must be. We wouldn't have included that regularly. Had there not been this rule, logic would not have said unripe grapes is the same as grapes. But the rule tells us we got to include something. So therefore, we include it. And the Torah wrote the rule two ways. It wrote it by a pre, and it wrote it by a psilis pre. It wrote it by a grape, and it wrote it by vinegar. So now I got to find something that's not a pre, that's like a pre, but it's not included in grapes, would not be included in grapes without this rule, and something that's like vinegar, but wouldn't be included in vinegar without this rule. So we came up with two things. We came up with unripe grapes for pre and with wormy grapes for sarcaimus. And then we had chatzan and bazak. And we said that's for bein abinayim, which are the grapes that are hidden, the way the Rosh learns, the big machlokes for China, but the Rosh Hashita, the grapes that are hidden amongst the other grapes, they don't get sunlight. They never get to the point of real edibility. And that's included from chatzan and bazak because it's not the normal thing you eat in a grape either.
That's a prat.
Prat, that every prat is included. We need a ke'en ha-prat. Right, prat klal prat says, include things similar to the prat. By the time we're writing three pratim, the Torah is telling me include three things. What are we including? Yeah, that's considered one prat. Yes.
So this is an additional rule on something that we've talked about before a number of times, which is when the Torah makes a list, is that list exclusive or is it just indicative?
Depends how it wrote it.
What you're saying is when it's written in the context of qualified recall,
yes.
It is exhaustive.
Not completely, only things similar to the prop. Not a reboy that includes everything.
How is listing three things different from listing one prop?
Well, the difference is as follows. See, sometimes the Torah writes pratim, and you find right away things to include to all of them.
Exactly.
Then you just include the rule. But sometimes there's nothing clearly to include. There's no rule I can make based on grapes, vinegar, pits, and peels that are not written in the Torah. What would the rule be? The rule that I would make up would not include anything more than what it is. Because the rules are defined. The rules are very narrow. What is similar to all these details?
So the problem is what you have just said means it's not a rule. It means it's my own understanding.
Every time, well, every rule is my understanding how to use the rule.
No. That's not true.
Again.
The rule is something external to your understanding. If I tell you that you have to sit in a blue chair, that is not...
Okay, let me try to explain this again, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let me do it again. The typical case of klal prat u klal is the Torah said, go to Yerushalayim and buy food. And it gives you four examples. Babakar, batzayim, bayayin, and basheichar.
Okay.
Cattle, sheep, wine, old wine. Those are the four examples the Torah gave. Now, the Torah didn't say I can buy potato chips. The Torah did not say I can buy corn chips. There's a lot of foods that Torah left out. So if it would be a specific rule, I wouldn't be able to buy anything besides these four things. The Torah told me, spend your money on these four items. Cattle, sheep, wine, old wine. No orange juice. No rice. No noodles. Hold on a second. Just a second. Let me finish.
Yes.
Came along Klal Pratu Klal and says, what is the common denominator of these four things? I'm not getting involved now, and therefore we can include all the foods. That's because the list left you things that are very similar to the whole list to include by using the rule of Klal Pratu Klal. So I include any food that meets the criteria that these four meet. That's Klal Pratu Klal. That's the regular Klal Pratu Klal. Same thing. The Torah said, Ki yitin isho chaveri kesef kelim lishmar. Guy gives money or kelim to watch. How about if he gives something that's not kesef and it's not kelim? Answer is, klal pratu klal. What is the common denominator of kesef and kelim? What is that? We will include things that are not kesef and not kelim. That's the usual klal pratu klal. Over here we run into a problem. The usual klal pratu klal can't work here because there is no common denominator between the three pratim that the Torah gave me. Grapes, vinegar, and chatzan and medzak. There is a common denominator, but the common denominator only is the things listed. There's nothing not listed that's in the common denominator. You're right. We would figure out a lot of things that are listed. We would figure out from grapes that you maybe peel some pits. We would figure out from chametz, old wine and new wine. We would figure out a lot of things, but we would never add to the list that's there. Because the other things are not fitting the common denominator of what's listed. Came along the Gemara and said, but you got to find something. So we have to expand the regular rules of Klal Prat and find something that's not a common denominator in all of that and find an item that we can include. Yes?
You still circled right back to what I said. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Which is that... Yeah, the Klal Pratu Klal is limited by my own understanding of what can be included. Period. It is a
Chazal's understanding, not mine.
I'm sorry, what?
Chazal's understanding, not mine.
I'd say a logical understanding.
Right. That's what they did. Okay, Amamar. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines to the bottom. Amamar. Imah Prat before it's Pigummer. I've called Pigummer. Amrit. We got a problem. This is the Brisa. Imkemani Hakasib Mashmarshle Amra. If you need pre-gummer, what was left out? Which pre-gummer is there that's not mentioned the parish? Right, if you look for the common denominator of grapes, what is the thing of grapes? A complete fruit. Now, it can be an apple because that's not Mikolashi Asim Gefen Ayayin. So Mikolashi Asim Gefen Ayayin says it's got to be something to do with grapes. So the Torah said grapes. What pre-gummer can I think?
It can't be an image of grapes.
Exactly. So that's the problem. But we have a plot called problem. Got to include something.
What did it include before?
Nothing yet. We're explaining the Bryce that we read. Again, this is the Bryce explaining why we did this. We're quoting. Amar means we're quoting something we said before. Not new. This is a requote of what we said before. Before you know the immature grapes, the Bryce is saying this. Anavim lachem v'yaveshim haksivi. Wet, moist, and dry grapes, it's written. Anavim lachem v'yaveshim.
Is that?
In the pasuk, yeah. Yayin v'chaymetz haksivi. Wine and vinegar is written. So what are we going to do? Ein alecha lodin kalashin achron. So you can't be limiting here. Ela kalashin rishon. It means like the original way we said, that we're going to include immature grapes and other things. You have to do that. But if not, there's no reason for this prat called prat. Period. Ma'achar. Period. That's the part of the brisa. So far, there is no rush. Right. Well, I'm sorry?
Dried out grapes, like raisins?
Dried out grapes, which is raisins. Correct. Frekzi brisa, ma'achar shusafenu. This is the brisa talking. Ma'achar shusafenu, the rabbit's called over. If we're going to include everything anyway, what did Chatzan and Badzug do? Why do we need it? Why do we need Chatzan and Badzug? What meaning Chatan and Batzag included Bein Abinayim, we would have included Bein Abinayim without Chatan and Batzag. It's a grape. It's something we can include.
I thought you said the sun doesn't hit it.
Right, but it's still a grape, and it would have been included in the flower pot of what's the name again, of an oven. No different than immature grapes. So why do we need it?
We're still going on the
pre
of
Gomer?
Well,
we said we got to include something that's not a pre-Gomer. That's what Prat Kal Prat taught us. Now, we have a problem. Why did the Torah have to write the last Prat? The Torah could have written the first Prat and the Kal. Why did the Torah put Chatzan and Vazag in? Zok de Braisa, to teach us a rule. Had the Torah not written Chatzan and Vazag, this would have been a Prat Kal. In a Prat and Kal, we include everything. We would not have limited it at all. It would have been wide open. Leaves, shoots, everything. That's the rule of Prat and Kal. So it had to add a Prat afterwards to say, no, we're not including everything. We're only including things similar to the Prat. Again, can I please finish?
Which one are we going with now?
The Rabbanon.
That shoots and leaves are not good?
Exactly.
They are...
They're not included. They're mutter. They're not included. Now again, let me try to explain this again. The Bryce is explaining that the reason I have to have a prat at the end is because if not, the rule is a different rule. So the Chatan and Vazag is put there to make it into a prat klal prat. Because had Chatan and Vazag not been put after the klal, it would have been a regular prat and klal. And a regular prat and klal, which is not followed by a second prat, is very inclusive. So in order to limit what we're including, the Torah had to write another prat at the end. So the reason the Torah wrote it this way is to teach me the rule, this is a prat klal or prat, this is not a prat and klal. That's why the Torah moved Chatzan and Vazag to the end. That's what the Braita is saying. We would not have limited. We would have said include everything. This is to teach me that we need a prat at the end to limit what we're including. So the Torah here is teaching me rules of prat, klal, prat. Because the Torah could have left out and just said a prat and klal. But then we would have been learning a lot more things than we want to. Than the Torah wants us to learn.
So why do I have to,
I have no answer to that.
No, I
heard you, I don't have an answer. Why did the Torah move Chaim to the end? I don't know.
I'm sorry. What I meant was, why do we have to be barbed at something the Chatzan v'Vazag? You had to say it there. If not, it would be a problem.
Yeah, but the fact that we chose to say that means we want to include something like it also. But you're right. But that's what the reason is. But the reason it's there is to tell me the rule of prat klal prat. Nothing in my right. Fine. So we finished the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan pretty clearly. Now Rabbi Eliezer holds it's a miyut and ribui. And a miyut and ribui include everything besides one thing. Therefore, he excluded only branches. Everything else is included. And for some reason, which I didn't figure out, all these miutim are considered like one miut, and they exclude one thing, which is branches. Rabbanan say, this is not a miut ribui. This is a klal prat of klal. It's not a klal prat of klal, it's a prat klal prat, which is the same. And the rule of prat klal prat is you include things similar to the prat. Over here, the problem is you don't find something really similar. So the rule then says include something that's almost similar. And therefore, we're including things that are almost similar. But there's no common denominator that I can say these three things share and I include things that are similar because everything similar is listed. I don't have to include things that are listed. Therefore, the Torah is trying to tell me the rules are, expand your prat klal prat to include something else nearly similar. That's what the Torah is telling me. Zakti Gemara Vayikra. U'Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Kemukim La, Mahai Chatzan and Vazag, Lo'i Meshe Nechayev, Atshayim Bebeis Chatzan and Vazag. In the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that said chatzanim plural and zug singular to tell me that the Michai, we need two chatzanim and one zug. Pratim and Ale. So where does he learn? How does he learn? He doesn't have chatzanim azug as a prat. Chatzanim azug is written for something else. It's not a specific to be taken into the drasha. So according to him, we should include everything. That's the rule of prat and klal. There's no second prat. Chatzanim azug is to tell me a new halacha of two and one.
I mean, if it's still written there...
Doesn't make a difference. The Gemara understands that if it's written for a separate purpose, you can't use it as a prat. That's what the Gemara is saying. And for the Gemara, the Darsh means for Rivui. You're right. You're right. He holds a Gamliazer. And according to Gamliazer, you don't need Chatzan and Vazak for your Drasha. It's me and Rivui. That's answer number one. Answer number two is similar to what Avraham was finding over here, but a little sharper, the Gemara says it. Rivui is Demik Rabbanah. You can learn Chatzan and Vazag 2 and 1 and still a Prat. Why? Because why did the Torah write it on the other side of the cloud? Why didn't the Torah put it together with all the specifics? And I would have said, that's to tell me 2 and 1. Why did the Torah have to write it on the other side? Where did the placement of the Torah is to tell me that the Torah says, it's teaching you halachas, but it's also a Prat. Because why else would the Torah write it afterwards? The Torah should have put it with everything else. The Isam Kedai to Kedam Rablazim and Azariah. Lichter Rachman Alaymecha, he's right, like Rablazim and Azariah. But Lichter Rachman Alaymecha Tzana Vazal Gabi Prati. Why didn't he tell about the other specifics? Lamai Yuchas Akasya Batzaklau. Why didn't he put it afterwards? Shmami Nam. Lamedayin the Beklau Prat. Must be that the Torah is saying, besides learning the Aloha of Chatzan and Vazag, it means a prat. Because why else? The placement tells me that. The first Torah said that we don't look at the placement. This is for a different halacha. It's not a prat. So there we hold like a liaison. Second Torah says no. He can hold his prat. But the reason it's a prat called prat is because of the placement. Fresh the Gemara. Behema kula hokadasa. So maybe that's all the pasuk is doing. How do I know the dash in 2 and 1? Then lead them either both plural or both singular. Why did the Torah switch from plural to singular? To tell me two drashas. The placement tells me it's a prat. The change from plural to singular tells me that second halach of two chatzanim and one zag.
Bottom
line is,
I mean,
why were they
so excited about it? I mean, that's what it says.
Or Chanan Sama,
he would have touched it some other way. Or Chanan
Sama,
I think.
That's what Rabbanan Azariah's drasha. Rabbanan don't make that drasha. They say, Rabbanan Azariah says two things. A kula and a chumra. Number one, if you eat one big chatzan and a zug, and it's more than a zayas, you're not chayas. The Torah said chatzanim. You didn't need chatzanim. Number two, if you eat two chatzanim and one zug, you don't need exayas. That's how the Rishonim understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbanan argue on both points. You have an exayas of chatzanim and zug, and they don't concentrate on the fact that the Torah wrote it plural. They don't dash it. I don't know why not. It's a great question. You know who asked that question? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
The first pasuk, nothing means me too.
You don't. That's exactly it. It's only the change from chatzan and bazak. Had it said chatzan and bazak, we would not have made that drasha. Or either way, it's the switch from plural to singular. Look the rush. Well, the blood of Azariah, the Muki. Top, I have at the top rush on Lamed Hey and Aleph. The Blazim and Azariah, the Muki, Acherichu, Beis Chatzarim, Bezagecha. Beis Chatzarim, Shein Betay Chanavim. That's, he learning Chatzarim, is the pit. Bezag Shukli Bakitzayin. Again, we had a Makoikis in that. But for some reason, the rush goes with that Shita. The Chatzarim is the pit, and Zag is the P.O. He doesn't use it. Because the fact that the Torah switched the tense from plural to singular means the Torah said, don't use this. This is just for a different thing. Period. That's the end of this Gemara of explaining the sugya over here. Now the Gemara goes out on a tangent and wants to know. Yes.
Quick observation. The Rosh and the way we're doing the shiur right now contradicts a Rosh that we hit a month or two ago. And understanding was excluded, the method of understanding was excluded, because it was not listed in the Yud Gimel Midas Torah Midrash. Ian Ribui is not listed in the 13 Midas.
Excellent question. And Rabbi Eliezer, who holds me in Riboy, holds that at this point we don't know yet, but let's assume that there are more than 13 meters. There are many Tanoim that hold there are more than 13. So Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have to stick to Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer is not bound by what we say by davening.
No, I agree.
So he holds there's a thing called Meet and Reboy.
The Rush here, after having said, this is a Rush versus Rush.
No, it's not.
After having said a couple of months ago, that we were limited to the
13
minutes. Here it's very comfortable with the concept of Rivian versus Paul.
Again, I don't remember where that rush was. I remember such a rush. But I didn't think...
I didn't
think that he was excluding... He was going with Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa that there are 13, and whatever he wanted to use there didn't fit the 13 or anybody else was the minutes. So therefore, he didn't mean to say just 13. He meant to say, it's got to be in a list. And this is not in the list. This isn't a list, according to Rabbi Eliezer.
What made me uncomfortable specifically was everything which was not on the list was excluded.
Again, which list?
Further into it, and there are other lists.
So he's saying, according to Rabbi Shmuel, all the other things would be included.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying we're going to Rabbi Eliezer.
Exactly.
Rabbi Eliezer holds
exactly.
He's not Rabbi Shmuel.
Fine.
He's a funny, you know,
yes.
He's a good guy.
Okay. Fine. Okay, we will stop over here. Merch Simpson.